Good evening. I invite your attention to the Epistle of Paul to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Our dear friend, Maurice Montgomery, pastor in Madisonville, has been in failing health for quite some time. For some months, been unable to preach even from his own pulpit. So he has a substitute preacher every Lord's Day down in Madisonville. And the preacher is introduced every week in the bulletin. I am subscribed to the bulletin. I get it a day or two before the Lord's Day. So I know who's going to be preaching. And I noticed that every preacher is introduced almost the same way. My son goes down quite often, and so it reads in the bulletin, Brother D. Parks will preach to us the unsearchable riches of Christ. I have read in there that Brother Bob Coffey will preach to us the unsearchable riches of Christ. I read about a young man named Frank Hall. He will preach to us the unsearchable riches of Christ. I've read in there that Brother Luke Coffey will preach to us the unsearchable riches of Christ. As you can see, there's a common thread running through all this. The preacher is different every week, but the subject is the same, the unsearchable riches of Christ. So I wanted to be clear on the facts of the matter, so I telephoned my son. And I said, Son, does Maurice tell you that you must preach the unsearchable riches of Christ? And he said, No, he doesn't tell me what to preach. Well, do you telephone him and tell him what you're going to be preaching? That you're going to be preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ? And my son said, No, he doesn't. So I assume it's probably the same for all those preachers. The subject is not assigned, and they do not let it be known beforehand what they're going to be preaching. It's just in the bulletin that the subject is going to be the unsearchable riches of Christ. And whatever the text and whatever the subject, the real subject is the unsearchable riches of Christ. Anywhere in scriptures the text is taken, the subject is the unsearchable riches of Christ. So, I'm going to make it easy on myself and take the text itself. It's in Ephesians 3, verse 8. Where Paul declares that to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. As I said, I'm going to make it easy for me. I'm going to take the subject itself and attempt tonight to preach to you on that very subject. My message is titled, The Unsearchable Riches of Christ. We will not search them out. We will not exhaust the subject, I assure you. Brother Maurice has been preaching the gospel in Madisonville for many, many years, and he has not exhausted it. He has all these preachers coming in, and they've not exhausted it. You've not exhausted it. I've not exhausted. Your pastor did not exhaust it. These unsearchable riches of Christ. But before I get into my subject tonight, I would like to just mention that Paul says some things about himself here that identify him as typical of all God's preachers in four regards. First, observe his personal humility. Paul as much as says, I am less than the least of all the saints. Folks, this is Paul who wrote that. I am less than the least of all the saints. Elsewhere he says, I'm the chief of sinners. God's preachers willingly acknowledge themselves as the greatest of sinners and the least of saints. At least all that I've met would say so. And I would say to you, beware of the preacher who considers himself the least of sinners and among the greatest of saints. Beware. Second, observe Paul in his divine enablement. He says, this grace was given. Whatever he's going to do, he's going to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, but only because this grace was given. God's preachers will freely acknowledge themselves to have been by God graciously chosen, gifted, enabled, and directed. And I would say to you, beware of the man who chose the ministry for a career and directs himself or is directed by some religious organization. Paul says, I was divinely enabled. And I do not depend upon my own gifts, my own abilities. I have none, but as God enables me, this I do. Third, Paul is typical of all God's preachers in his ministerial calling. He said, I should preach among the Gentiles. God's preachers preach because that's what preachers do. He's not a preacher unless he preaches. So Paul says, I should preach. Observe well that we do not minister as priests at altars, enforcers of the law, dictators of morality, propagators of ceremonies and rituals, enlargers of churches, religious entertainers, or anything else that ministers in religion do. We preach. And we preach to Gentiles. In the widest sense of the term, it means everyone estranged from God. We preach. We preach to Gentiles. And Paul is typical in his preaching content, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, what is meant by unsearchable? That which is unsearchable is incalculable, unfathomable, incomprehensible, immeasurable, inexhaustible, and every other term like that you can find. It's unsearchable, these riches of Christ. To say they're riches of Christ is enough, but Paul says, no, 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 they're unsearchable riches of Christ. Some riches are unsearchable because they have never been discovered. Geologists tell us that under the earth there are oil fields that have never been discovered. There are veins of gold and silver and precious stones yet to be discovered. What are they worth? We have no idea because they've not been discovered. You cannot measure what has not been discovered. Well, I say to you that these riches of Christ have been discovered because God has revealed them, and yet they still are unsearchable. Some riches are unsearchable because they are lost. In the Caribbean, where I live, is said to be a graveyard for ships laden with treasures from the New World going back to Europe, caught in storms and hurricanes, and the ships perished at sea and took all their precious cargo with them. They did not take inventory in those days like they do today, and In some cases, the inventory is lost. We do know that down in the graveyard of the oceans, there are ships with great riches. What are they worth? We do not know. The ships are lost, and you cannot measure what is lost. Christ's treasures are never lost. His riches are never lost. He reveals them and gives them, and yet they're still unsearchable. Some riches are treasures are unsearchable because they are off limits. There are men in this world who have precious treasures and wealth, and even they do not know how much they're worth. You may remember that the U.S. Marines made an attack on a certain ruler a few years ago, and he tried to make his escape. And it was discovered that he had tractor trailer trucks full of American currency, dollar bills. And they were not all ones. Now, what's the man worth? He doesn't even know. What he had was under, it was off limits, behind lock and key and under security. And what is off limits cannot be searched, can it not? Well, these riches of Christ are not off limits. Now come, you can have every one of them. Or at least as many as you can take. As many as you can put your hands on. They're not off limits. They've been discovered. God has revealed them. None of them is lost. And when they're used, there's still as much left as there was. So come, these are unsearchable riches of Christ. What are they? That's a needless question. If they're unsearchable, I cannot enumerate them, can I? If they are unsearchable, I cannot fully explain even one of them. But I tell you what I can do. I can introduce to you tonight some of these unsearchable riches of Christ. I can introduce them. My mind is incapable of fathoming them, and even if I could explain them fully, your mind is incapable of understanding and comprehending them. But we can introduce them, and I can tell you, if you'll have them, they're yours. They're yours. First, the unsearchable riches of Christ's deity. He is very God of very God. And Paul declares in Colossians 2, verse 9, that in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now explain that to me. That God who cannot be contained, that God who is omnipresent, everywhere present, every bit of the fullness of his deity is in Christ in that body. Explain that to me. You can't. The subject is unsearchable. You cannot fathom it. That the entirety, all the fullness of the Godhead, it's in him. And I can see every bit of him, but I cannot see all the fullness of God's deity. Explain that. It's unsearchable riches of the deity of Jesus Christ. Deity cannot be comprehended by mortals because it is eternal and infinite and perfect. And there's no way we can comprehend anything that is eternal and infinite and perfect. Most preachers deny Christ's deity. We know this because they say that he cannot save you unless you let him, and he's powerless to save you unless you help him. They just denied his sovereignty and his omnipotence. And a God without omnipotence and sovereignty is a vain idol of some man's vain imagination. It's not the Christ. It's not the Christ. We declare to you, when Jehovah sent his Son into the world, he prophesied of it in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 9. And he said, when I send my Son, I want my preachers to say, behold your God. Behold your God. That's the Christ I preach to you. In Isaiah 25, verse 9, it's a very remarkable statement regarding the incarnation of Christ. Behold, this is our God, and we have waited for him. He will save us. This is Jehovah, and we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Isaiah 25, verse 9. Comprehend that, if you will, that this man walking around is God. Behold your God. This is our God. Who is he? Thomas. Thomas will tell you, my Lord Jehovah and my God. The unsearchable riches of his deity. There are the unsearchable riches of Christ's sovereignty. We hear false preachers say, Christ will save you if you let him. Well, they thereby admitted that their Christ, their Messiah, does not have sovereignty. You must let him do something or he cannot do it. It's not so with the Christ I preach to you. He declares that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, all of it. The Holy Spirit declares that he is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He therefore does as he pleases, when he pleases, how he pleases, and to whom he pleases. And if he desires to save a sinner, you won't stop him. Hell itself will not stop him. And I say to you that if you call upon him to save you, nothing deters him from coming. Nothing prevents him from coming. And when he arrives, he does not need your help. The unsearchable riches of the sovereignty of Christ. Third, the unsearchable riches of Christ's power. Because we hear false preachers say Christ is powerless to save you unless you let him. Well, who in his right mind wants a God like that anyway? He can't help me unless I help myself. I tell you who wants a God like that. Somebody who wants to be God of God. That's it. Wants to be God of God and says, I got a God and he can't do something unless I let him, and he's powerless unless I enable him. He wanted to save me, but I had to meet him halfway. Really? You want that God? You're welcome to it. You can have every bit of it. Every bit of it. It's not the God I preach to you. God I preach to you created all this universe, the heavens. We do not even know what's out there. We discover things in the heavens we did not know was there. He made it and he knows what's there. He's already counted all the stars. He knows them all by name. Those oceans, seas, he made it. This land upon which we walk, he made it. He made every mountain, made every boulder, made every stone, made every grain of dirt, and made every grain of the finest silt you can find. He made it. It's his. He did it. Got it right the first time, and God was so well pleased, he said, son, you can rest. It's over. He did it. And one night there he is. Out on the Sea of Galilee. And the wind begins to blow and the waves are billowing. And the disciples are sure we're going down. And the master is asleep. Well, when you're in control, you can sleep. And they say, Master, we perish. We do. He stands up and he says, wind, stop your blowing. Billows, be still. And the wind quit blowing and the sea was still. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this? I'll tell you what manner of man it is. It's one with unsearchable riches of sovereignty and power. That's who it is. He had the power to exorcise demons, the power to heal the sick, the power to give sight to the blind, the power to give hearing to the deaf, the power to cause the mute to speak, the power to raise the dead. He did it. Even in his weakest physical state, in his weakest physical moment, when he's hanging on a tree on Calvary, the blood has drained from his body. His strength has been sapped. He's confined to a tree. He's going nowhere. He's about to give up the ghost. And a thief says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus Christ, in the weakest moment of his humanity, said, "It's done. I just saved you. I'll remember you. Today you're with me in paradise." Now think about it. In his weakest moment, I'm saying to you, if you call on him to save you, don't worry about him having enough power. Don't worry. He's got more than enough. He doesn't need you to meet him halfway. He does not need for you to do your part. He's going to do it all. Just call. The unsearchable riches of his power. The unsearchable riches of his grace. Paul speaks in chapter 2, verse 7, of the exceeding riches of God's grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you about the unsearchable riches of his grace. First of all, his grace is invincible in many regards, because no sinner is too big for Christ to save. Paul said he's already saved the chief of sinners, did so when he saved me. So when he saved the chief of sinners, he saved the biggest one. If he saved the biggest one, he can save you. His grace is invincible. His grace also is invincible because there is no sinner too bad for him to save. You hear people say, "I'm just too bad for Christ to save." Are you? You're bad only in your own eyes, and you're not really all that bad after all. His grace is invincible. Paul describes some folks who will never inherit God's kingdom. Here's what he says. He gives a catalog. People who will not enter God's kingdom, cannot inherit it, are fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners. None of them will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, so guess what he then says next? Let me tell you what he then said next. He said, "Such were some of you." Everything you just described. He nailed me. And he says, "That's the kind of people I save." Nobody too bad for him to save. The dregs of society, I don't care, folks. This grace is invincible. There are riches of grace that you will never fathom. He even saved that blasphemous and insolent and murderous and Christ-hating chief of sinners named Saul of Tarsus. This grace is invincible. No sinner is too far away for Christ to save. I don't care where you are. Sitting in a church pew, and that may be just about one of the furthest places you can be from Christ in most churches. You may be sitting in a church pew, lying in the deepest hell hole and languishing at the end of the earth, but I tell you this, if you call to Christ, he's coming, because nobody's too far away. His grace is invincible. Furthermore, his grace is eternal. Everyone saved by Christ is eternally secure because he has that much grace. The unsearchable riches of his grace. No saint can be taken from him. He says, "I give them eternal life." What is eternal life? It's eternal life. Does eternal life end? Can't. It's eternal. I give them eternal life, means they'll never die, they'll never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I say to you that if you're in Christ's hands, hell and the devil and all his minions and all the world itself cannot pry back one knuckle to take you out. Never. Because of the unsearchable riches of his grace. Furthermore, no saint can be cast from Christ. He says that the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. Notice, by no means cast out. You want to know what that means? That means by no means is anyone in Christ ever cast out. Look at that man. He is drunk and naked and lying there in a stupor in one of the most deplorable conditions a man ever was. You want to know who that is? That man just built an ark and saved his family when God destroyed the world with the flood. Got out of the ark and had a sacrifice to God and then got drunk. Well, he'd get cast out from most people, but Christ said, no, I'm not casting you out. Does that condone what he did? Absolutely not. I'm just telling you, Christ did not cast him away. Here's Moses. Oh, you talk about a man of patience. These people complained and murmured every step of the way, never satisfied. And they blamed Moses for everything. They came to him one day and said, we don't have water, Moses. What'd you do? Bring us out here to kill us? We don't have water. Moses fell prostrate before the Lord with Aaron. And the Lord said, Moses, go out there. And there's a rock. And I want you to speak to the rock. Take your rod and speak to the rock. And they'll have water. He's having a tizzy. I mean, this has been going on now for so long. He walks out of God's presence, takes his rod in his hand. He says, must I always give you water? And hit that rock. And when he did, he hit Christ. Christ was that rock that followed them. Christ is the rock that gives the water of life. He smote Christ. And the Lord said, you're not going to Canaan, but I'm not casting you out of my hand. By no means will he be cast out. Does that condone what Moses did? Absolutely not. I'm glad the Lord doesn't cast me out every time I have a tizzy or a fit. Here's another man. He's walking along the wall of this castle. He should be out at battle because that's where his army is. The king's supposed to lead the army, but he's taking it easy, walking around, cool of the evening. What is that? That woman is beautiful. Go get her, bring her to me. He's the king. She's brought. The king commits adultery with her. Then murders her husband. Well, that'll get him cast out of most people's society, but Christ said, no, by no means will he be cast out. Is that justified, condone it? Absolutely not. Read Psalm 51. No. But all I'm saying to you is, he wasn't cast out. Here's Peter. Stalwart, brave fisherman. Lord says, you disciples are going to deny me. They may, but I never will. Peter, before the cock crows thrice, you will. You'll deny me thrice before the cock crows. Not me, not me. So they come for the Lord, and the Lord's disciples flee. It appears that maybe John stayed by our Lord. Peter stayed off at a distance and was warming his hands at the devil's fire while his Lord's on trial in there. Somebody says, "Aren't you one of his?" One of his? Nope, not me. "You walk with Jesus?" No, not me. Not me, I know you walk with Jesus. You're one of his. Not me, not me. And the rooster crows. And Jesus turned around and looked at him. What a look that must have been. Looked at him. "Peter, I know what you just did, but I'm not casting you out." Now, do you see the point I'm making? You better hope, oh sinner, oh believing saint, you better hope there's enough grace to keep you. I hope there's enough to keep me. I'm convinced there is, because you see the kind of grace that has been exercised of the Lord's people. "I will never cast you out. Never." Oh, the unsearchable riches of that grace. This grace is inexhaustible. This grace has been given to sinners from the dawn of creation. These unsearchable riches of Christ have been preached from the dawn of creation, ever since God himself preached them in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. God preached the unsearchable riches of Christ, opened the subject up, and we've been developing it ever since and have not exhausted it yet. And Christ has been dispensing his grace from the dawn of creation. He already has saved a multitude that no man can number. And yet I tell you, there's still grace left for you if you need it. If you need it. It's not exhausted. This grace is unsearchable in its riches. And I tell you, you come to Christ and you'll find enough grace, superabounding, for your sin. Hurriedly now. Fifth, the unsearchable riches of Christ's blood. His blood saved, redeemed, ransomed, justified, sanctified, healed, and reconciled to God every sinner for whom it was shed. And absolutely no one for whom this blood was shed will ever perish. Why? The unsearchable riches of his blood. There are the unsearchable riches of Christ's righteousness. And his righteousness is the only righteousness that perfectly and completely satisfies God's law. And he has imputed that righteousness to every believer from the dawn of creation. And he still has righteousness left for you if you'll have it. The unsearchable riches of his holiness. His holiness is the only holiness that is accepted in God's presence, and he has imparted his holiness. He has imparted his divine nature to believers from the dawn of creation, and there's still enough for you. If you'll have it, O sinner, there's still enough for you. Unsearchable riches. No one who ever received Christ's righteousness ever became unrighteous. No one who ever received his holiness ever became unholy, because of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I could go on and on and on. As I said, I cannot comprehend this subject. I cannot fully give it to you. I cannot enumerate all these riches, because they are unsearchable. I cannot fully explain even one of them because they are unsearchable. But I'll tell you this. You want a God who can save? This one I preach is unsearchable in his deity. You want a God who's strong enough and has the ability to save? This one is unsearchable in his sovereignty and omnipotence. You want a God, a Christ, whose grace is invincible, can save the worst? Here he is, the unsearchable riches of Christ. I will preach this subject, if God be my help, until the day I die. And then, when I get to glory, maybe I'll understand it. Maybe he will reveal these unsearchable riches of Christ when I know as I am known. But till then, oh, my friend, come to Christ. Or call him, he'll come to you. And doubt not, because of these unsearchable riches of Christ. Come to him.